Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
All right, we're back and better than ever. Greeny with you, presented by Progressive Insurance on this Monday, January 8th. This is the busiest sports day of the year. NFL regular season wraps up. Playoff field is set. Coaching carousel spinning. And the national championship tonight. Let's go.
Here we go.
Only one place to start.
The Buffalo Bills come from three games back in the loss column to steal the division title from the Miami Dolphins.
Doesn't mean anything if we go out there next week and don't do our job. So we got to find a way to put our best foot forward and go find a victory next week.
All right, look, I'm not one who likes to point out when I was right. Let me rephrase that. I'm one who loves to point out when I was right. But here's the flip side. I'll tell you when I'm wrong. No one's been wrong more often than I've been wrong. And I'll always tell you when I was wrong. But on this one, we were right. Hembo and I, when the Bills were 6-6, we doubled down on our Josh Allen take. We said that he is still the best or second best quarterback, second best player in the NFL, and that team absolutely was dangerous. And here they are, five wins later, the two seed in the AFC. And that is where this conversation can begin, although there are a lot of places I want to go with Dominique Foxworth, Hembo, and the hashtag crew around us. Nick, how about the Bills?
Incredible, man. I saw the stat this morning that to get the number two seed at a certain point this season, they were down to 0.1%. Like, those are dumb and dumber probabilities. So you're saying there's a chance. And yes, they actually pulled it off. And it wasn't pretty the whole time, as Josh pointed out last night. But you're right. I mean, it's not a surprise to any of us. If it was going to happen, it was going to happen because Josh was going to be special. And there were even a couple games in there. I think about the Cowboys game, where it seemed like they didn't even need Josh. So this team has come together. They've gotten much better. And what they've accomplished right now has to have been emotionally and physically exhausting. So we'll see what they have left in the tank. But right now, what they've done up until this point is a hell of an accomplishment.
I'll tell you what. So this is the fourth straight season that Josh Allen has accounted for at least 40 touchdowns. Nobody in the history of the NFL has ever done that in four consecutive seasons when you account for his passing and his rushing. But, Nick, it's not just Josh Allen now that has enabled them to get the two seed.
Right.
The defense is playing better. That was a concern for at least much of the first half of the season. And James Cook is playing outstanding football ever since Joe Brady took over, since they fired Ken Dorsey when they forgot to put – they had 12 men on the field against Denver, which we thought was ridiculous that they fired him. But regardless of how you slice it, their run game has been outstanding because Josh Allen provides your offense – such a high floor because of his legs. James Cook has been excellent. That team's as dangerous as anybody as we start the playoffs.
I think they're the biggest threat to the Ravens. Like, we go into this postseason with two teams. You did a perspective on this for us last week, Dominique, that our analytics tell us Ravens are the field, take the Ravens. Niners are the field, take the Niners. That's not the norm. So we have to sit and figure out who the biggest threat is. I definitively think Allen is the single biggest threat just by himself to Baltimore and the AFC.
Yeah, I mean, I still hold out some belief that maybe I'm an old school football guy, but I hold out some belief that football is a team game. And I think you're right. We have to appreciate that the Bills team has gotten better around Josh Allen. But I think it's no doubt that the better overall team is what Myles Garrett and the Browns have there. And they're not that anyone is afraid of or not that the Bills are afraid of the Ravens. There's something to be said for that divisional familiarity that I think that the Browns have also and going up and having beaten the Ravens at one point this year. It was kind of a miraculous, fluky ending with Deshaun Watson in that game. But they feel comfortable there, and they have Myles Garrett. So that changes things a lot. And they have corners. And as much as I love Lamar Jackson and was a Lamar Jackson supporter from before when he was drafted, when I was watching the film and seeing that he stayed in the pocket longer than people wanted to pretend that he would, the one criticism of Lamar Jackson is his accuracy. And that tight man coverage that the Browns are going to play is going to test him to be consistently accurate. That's that's not what the Bills do necessarily. They'll play some man under, which, frankly, you can't play that against Lamar Jackson because that takes all the coverage out of his scrambling ability. So they'll end up probably playing some zone, occasionally playing some man, but I think Lamar Jackson and the Ravens would much rather go up against that defense. And Josh Allen is good, but he's not unstoppable.
Oh, I hear you. But, I mean, you know too much football for this conversation. I look at this much more simply.
Yeah.
Joe Flacco is not beating the Ravens. I just don't see it happening. And, obviously, his history with the Ravens is will be an interesting storyline should that game materialize. Right. But I think to beat the Ravens, you're going to have to score 30 points. And I just don't see those Browns doing it. And I could easily see – again, Allen just has to go unconscious. Right. Like, we've seen some – there have been times – When players, and Mahomes has done it, they just play the greatest game you've ever seen, and it didn't make any difference who they were playing. And to me, he's the one guy who I could see doing that. All right, but that's not what I want to talk about with you today. I want to talk about the coaching stuff. So as we speak, there are five coaching vacancies in the NFL. We had three over the course of the season, the Panthers, the Chargers, and the Raiders. And we've had two more since the season ended. Arthur Smith got fired last night. Ron Rivera got fired early this morning. None of those, certainly neither of these two, came as a surprise. We're waiting on Belichick. Could we be waiting on Philly if things go bad next week? I think Hembo's going to make a case to fire Nick Sirianni today. Woo. What do you make of all the... Right? Am I overstating it?
I'm going to make the case.
Hembo is beating the drum. It's a drum. He's beating the drum. Right?
I've smashed the drum.
He's smashing the drum. Why are you smashing? You're firing the man who took her to the Super Bowl.
Hembo is not a crazy fan. Like, I think of Hembo as a crazy fan who has... As a rational guy who has a small crazy fan streak.
I'm not a compulsive Philadelphia sports fan. Like, that's many of my brethren most certainly qualify as that, but I don't think that Nick Sirianni, based on the recent evidence that we have, deserves to have another year. You're asking me to believe in a guy that the team does not believe in, right? That's what you're asking me to
do. What is it you're seeing that tells you that?
What are you seeing that tells you otherwise?
Well, I don't know, but I mean, when teams go on losing
streak, the fact that they pay him and they haven't fired him yet, and they took him to the Super Bowl, like, yes, they have faith in him.
And they were 10-1 6 weeks ago.
Going to the Super Bowl last year is not evidence that Nick Sirianni is doing a good job. It's evidence that Nick Sirianni did a good job with a whole different coaching staff. That's what I worry about, is that Nick Sirianni was a product of the coordinators that he had last year, both of whom got head coaching jobs and outcoached him this season, objectively. There's no good reason why a team this talented, this is a top five roster that has been healthy, could possibly end the season the way that they have. Go ahead.
Is there nothing to be said, though? Like, if we had a quarterback who had a great season, then his two top receivers left, we would explain that away. We would give them some grace. There's nothing to be said for Nick Sirianni knows how to coach. Having the two coordinators is an extenuating circumstance. Losing two of your coordinators in one season is a really tough thing to come back from. The fact that he wasn't able to come back from that is a mark on his resume, but it doesn't mean that he's not the same guy that it was last year, and it doesn't mean that he can't get things right and find the right coordinators.
I understand the coordinator change argument. The problem is that it's January 8th. We just played the last game of the season. Right. Like, that was a perfectly fine narrative that I was fine with people pushing in September and October. But the truth of the matter is, Greeny, I watched all 32 teams play football this weekend. The Eagles were among the worst, and the Eagles were among the worst coached. I think that he is coaching for his job.
They weren't among anything. They were the worst team in the NFL this week.
Okay, you're making my point for me.
It was 24-0 to the Giants.
Well, they were playing their starters.
That's what I mean.
Let's not allow it to be lost in history that they pulled Jalen Hurts or anything of the kind. The Dallas-Washington game was competitive, and the Eagles were playing to win, and we're getting bum-rushed by one of the worst teams in the NFL.
Yeah. If you just watched football yesterday and you didn't know anything about anything, you would say, who is the worst team? Well, they are. I mean, those guys look like the worst ones I saw. That part of it I don't disagree with. Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle motorcycle, RV, and boat insurance. Visit Progressive.com. Speaking of Super Bowl coaches who might get fired, Bill Belichick is the one everyone has their eye on today. Now, there's been no news out of there yet. Mike Reese, who covers that team for us, told us on Get Up on Friday that the expectation is, at least as of then, that Belichick will meet with the Krafts today, this Monday, where maybe a decision does get made. Now, before that, Belichick met with the media early this morning, and you will hear directly he was asked if he would give up his control over player personnel.
Wondering if you've given any serious thought to relinquishing the personnel, maybe some of the draft responsibilities, and coaching the team, which you were saying yesterday, is something you still really want to do.
Yeah, I'm for whatever, collectively we decide as an organization is the best thing to help our football team. I have multiple roles in that, and I rely on a lot of people to help me in those responsibilities. If somebody's got to have the final say, I have it. I rely on a lot of other people to help, and, whatever that process is, I'm only part of it.
So he said multiple things this morning that you don't usually hear him say. There was that, which was interesting, and he also multiple times said the words, I'm under contract, which feels intentional, right? Yes. He didn't just randomly today say the words, I'm under contract, multiple times. What does it mean, Nick?
Yeah, I think you're right to point out the I'm under contract thing. That's one of those technicalities that no one thinks about unless you have to think about it, and no one certainly brings it up unless you have to bring it up. I'm going to stay away from any analogies in this place, but they come to mind where it's like, well, I'm under contract, so I can't do or say these certain things.
Right.
But in this situation, he did seem open to the player personnel thing, but I have a hard time imagining, not that he is humble enough to do that, although I have a hard time imagining that. I have a hard time imagining an organization that has been run pretty much the same way for a couple of decades now, even if you change titles, I don't imagine that when you are actually sitting in the rooms making decisions about free agents to sign or players to draft, that Bill Belichick will still default have the final say. If someone else technically has a final say, how hard is it going to be to overrule the man who's won 6 Super Bowls for this team, and the whole organization, whether they want it to or not, has started to grow around him? I don't imagine that you can undo all the ingrained processes and cultures and decision-making that's been built up over muscle memory over 2 decades because we changed the title. And so I don't think that it's going, that it's realistic to keep him on and change his role. You either got to shut the door or not with a relationship like this.
I agree. And when you say to yourself, there's a part of me that wants to say Bob Kraft should allow Bill to go wherever he wants to go. He owes him that much. He won me 6 championships, took me to, 9 Super Bowls? I mean, you can't have done more for an organization. I'm just going to let you go. But the Patriots finished in a spot where they now get the 3rd pick. This is a draft that is going to be defined by the first 2 players, by Caleb Williams and Drake May. Now, there are other quarterbacks in this draft that people, myself included, like Jaden Daniels from LSU, and we'll see where we wind up.
Michael Penix.
And Michael Penix, who right now is not even projected to be a first-rounder. But those 2 guys, at least as we speak, are at the top. And if that is the case, if you're New England, you might want to be moving up there. Maybe the Bears are willing to trade out of that spot. You need all the ammunition you can to go up there. So if you can get some picks for Bill Belichick, then you do it.
I like the idea of saying that an owner of an NFL team would be kind in the exit of a player or a coach. But I think that Robert Kraft would say, that's what I paid you all the money for,
right,
to win all those Super Bowls and take us all those things. Like, now I don't owe you anything. And I think Bill Belichick, of all people, would understand it. But the one area where you could be extra critical of Bill Belichick's decision-making and drafting is receivers and pass catchers and playmakers. He can't get it wrong. If he's at 3, Marvin Harrison Jr. is the clearest number 1 receiver we've had in the draft since, I guess, Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase. Mm-hmm. So this is a draft that I think they might – we don't know how the quarterbacks are going to work out. They're highly regarded quarterbacks. But this is a draft where I think they're going to end up at 3. It's going to be hard to get either of those teams because the teams that are at 1 and 2 need quarterbacks.
Do they?
Yeah.
Do the Bears need a quarterback?
Yeah. Yeah, I think they do. I think the Bears need to move on. We've had 4 years, Justin Fields, and I think that you can blame – well, yeah.
3 years, but yeah.
You can blame the things around him.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is he has not proven himself to be the answer there in Chicago.
Hmm.
And I think at this point, it's the smartest thing is to move on from him and draft –
so I don't know if today is the day, but the argument, Hembo, that we had with Tannenbaum, at some point I want to sit with Nick and do this because we have so much stuff going on today. I don't think today is the day we want to dive that deeply into this. But Hembo and I did a little study. So of the 15 quarterbacks who were taken first overall in the draft since the year 2000, if you ask yourself how many of them were worth three first-round picks, the answer is six, and nine of them weren't. It is a better than 50-50 proposition that you are better off taking three first-round picks in exchange for the top pick in the draft and take your chances that this guy winds up being David Carr before he winds up being, you know...
That's fair.
Eli Manning.
That's fair. I would tell you to go back and do that study based on their draft grade, not based on where they were drafted. And I think Caleb Williams and Drake May's draft grade will have them higher than the average number one overall pick. But I would also say that 50-50 is pretty good for getting a franchise quarterback. I would love to have a coin toss to have Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, any of these guys. And I know that we can't guarantee that they would be there, but especially for the Bears, you think over the Bears' history, they've had zero, I guess you could say a couple McMahon years. They've had zero franchise quarterbacks. Mm. Zero.
Yeah.
So if you tell me I got a coin toss for a franchise quarterback and I'm a Bears fan, I'm falling all over that.
You are selling short Sid Luckman, but that's a whole other discussion for another time. You got to go back to the 50s. But that's a whole different
Super Bowl
conversation.
Era.
All right, we'll continue to do this. Nick, you're the best. Thank you very much, buddy. I got my takes coming up. Hembo's beating the drum. We're busy on a Monday on ESPN Radio. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Greeny, the podcast.
All right, it's a day of a lot of change in the NFL. Coaching carousel spinning. Two firings already. We're waiting on word out of New England. And then the most interesting stuff might still be yet to come. We'll get to it all, including my takes in 30 seconds after this word from Grainger. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by.
Greeny's Takes.
All right, here we go, my top five takeaways after Week 18, the final Sunday of the National Football League season. Some of them are specific to yesterday. Some of them are bigger picture.
Number five.
Well, there's good news and bad news for all of my friends who love the Bears. My wife is a Bears fan. So many members of my family extended. So many friends from all the years, 11 years I lived and worked in Chicago. Good news and bad if you're a fan of the Bears. The good news is you have a growing young team. You have some very interesting and all-appealing options. You have the first pick in the draft and a lot of draft capital. You decide you want to stick with Fields and make a trade, you can do that. Otherwise, you're drafting a Caleb Williams. There's really almost no downside to what the future looks like for Chicago. You want the bad news? The Packers have gone and done it again. You've lived in a world of Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers for 30 years, and it's happening again. Jordan Love is damn good. It is unfair to say, well, is he going to be Favre? Is he going to be Rodgers? Those are two of the greatest players in NFL history. So it's not only unrealistic to think he'll be that good, because almost no one ever has been, but it's far too early to suggest any such thing. But I do think it is reasonable to say You draw up the list of teams that look like they're set at quarterback right now, and the Packers are at or near the top of that list with young, skilled position talent. They're playing with house money in these playoffs. The Packers and their quarterback, they've done it again.
32 touchdowns, 11 interceptions for Jordan Love, which is about as good as you could possibly ask for a quarterback in his first season as a starter. And can we just collectively apologize to the Packers front office? We excoriated them for drafting Jordan Love, not drafting a receiver for Aaron Rodgers, who got all pissy and moany about it. Well, as it turns out, it was absolutely the right decision then, and it's the right decision now.
Maybe, but that's where I'm going to stop you. Because what is the value of one championship? If you had gotten Aaron Rodgers, a genuinely great playmaker, a difference-making offensive playmaker then, to go on the other side from Devontae Adams or something like that, could they have won a championship in what would have proved to him be Rodgers' last 2 or 3 years? And if so, what is the value of that for a franchise that hasn't won one in whatever it is now, 12 years? So that doesn't necessarily mean it was the right thing to do. That said, it was certainly a good thing to do. With all the teams out there that draft quarterbacks and get it wrong, they identified their guy and looks like, at least for this moment, they got it right.
Number four.
Arthur Smith went down whining. I really thought that was a horrible moment yesterday at the end of that game. And look, I mean, that team, I don't ever root for anybody to get fired, but anybody who watched the Falcons this year, and yesterday was a perfect microcosm of that, they were terribly coached. And this is a guy who everyone tells me is a brilliant offensive coach. Their offense stunk. It was awful. It was predictable. It was bad, and the quarterback is awful. Just awful. And yesterday was a perfect microcosm of that. And then the game ends, and the other team scores a late touchdown. And is it Bush League? Sure, it's Bush League. But come on. I mean, he just freaked out on the in the middle of the field, and Allen is trying to explain to him, hey, I didn't even call that play. Jameis Winston opted into it. But whatever. I mean, that just struck me as I don't know, what did you think of it? I thought it was a bad look.
I thought it's the thing that you don't do at midfield right after the game after you got your butt whooped, as they did. Arthur Smith, supposed offensive genius, 3 years in a row, 7-10. 3 years in a row, got the 8th pick in the draft. This year they ranked 26th in scoring offense. Some really good offensive coordinator is going to replace him and take Atlanta to the playoffs next season with all those weapons that they've compiled.
Absolutely. Now, one of their problems is they got the quarterback wrong every single time, and they need to get that right. By the way, the next time a generational quarterback makes himself available to every team in the league, if you're Atlanta, you might want to make sure the first thing you do is get a statement out as quickly as you can saying you don't want him. If you put Lamar Jackson on Atlanta this year, they would be the one of the top two seeds in the NFC. It would be them in San Francisco. We'd be talking about the Falcons and the 49ers, one or the other as the team to beat in the NFC. But I digress.
Number three.
C.J. Stroud is the offensive rookie of the year. Puka Nacua had a magnificent season. And there are a lot of other really good young offensive players. And one is just jumping out of my head. Another offensive player who's put together a
Jahmyr
magnificent
Gibbs?
Year. No, Gibbs, because he really didn't. I mean, Gibbs split the load with David Montgomery so much. Doesn't matter. The point of it is, not that I want the Offensive Rookie of the Year to turn into a quarterback award the way MVP has. But when you are the quarterback and they hand you the ball and you've got a rookie head coach, a first-time, first-year head coach, and an organization that has been bad and dysfunctional and looked bad and everything else, and you step right in there and change everything immediately, and oh, by the way, win the division. What C.J. Stroud did this year is Burrow-esque. And I'll remind everyone that what Burrow did, he did in his second year. Burrow, in his first year, was playing well, then got tore up his knee and missed the rest of the season. It was his second year that he took that team to the Super Bowl. Now, I don't know that this team is going to the Super Bowl, but they won the division, something no one gave them any conceivable chance of doing, and Stroud is the only reason why, or at least he's the biggest reason why. To me, he's the Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Absolutely. I mean, not only is he the Offensive Rookie of the Year, this is one of the top five rookie seasons ever. Any player, any position. He led the league in passing on a per-game basis. He averaged more yards per game than any quarterback in the league and also had the lowest interception rate. That is an absurd juxtaposition, especially when you consider this is not a color inside the lines offense. He is chucking the ball downfield as much as anybody off of a 3-win season. I think they're alive. Like, I think that team is perhaps more capable of making a run in the playoffs than others might think. And when you have a quarterback that good on his rookie deal, your championship window is right here, right now.
Yeah, so you think they're going to beat Cleveland this
week? I think they're going to beat Cleveland this week.
That's
my early lean.
We'll have, you know, obviously plenty of time to get into the upcoming matchups. Meanwhile, my top five takes.
Number two.
The Cowboys are just set up to fail. I hope they don't. You know I root for them for my own selfish reasons. I don't ever view anything beyond the realm of how it impacts me. And there's nothing better for sports talk show hosts than the Cowboys making a deep run in the playoffs. But it's just all so set up for them. Like Stephen A. always says, they wait until the worst possible moment to rip your heart out. And it's so set up for them. They were given this gift of the Eagles falling completely apart late in the season. And then whatever it was that did and didn't happen in that game against Detroit, I know people are going to tell me there was a tripping call, all the rest of that. Bottom line, the way that Detroit game played out, everything goes their way. It is so set up for this to be another heartbreaker.
The Cowboys have absolutely no excuse, none, to fall short of the NFC Championship game. It could not possibly be easier. I'll tell you this, they're probably rooting hard for someone down the line, for the Rams to potentially beat the Lions, which I think might well happen, because you ask me right now, I actually think Tampa and Philly are the two worst teams on the NFC side. Because of how they reseed stuff, I'd much rather see Tampa or Philly at this juncture than see Detroit. So that's what I'm rooting for from the Cowboys. I'm rooting for the Rams to beat the Lions.
All right, so that's what you need. You need the Rams to beat the Lions because that means the Rams would wind up in San Francisco.
That's right.
And then the Cowboys...
play the winner of Tampa-Philly.
Would get the winner of Tampa-Philly. Oh, I hadn't thought it through.
And they're going to be a big favorite in that game.
The Cowboys are.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that would be a slim favorite against Detroit, right?
Yes. 3.5 maybe?
Yeah.
After that game they played earlier?
They would be a double-digit favorite against Philly. Okay, one word. Now, that's interesting, and that brings us up to Philly.
Number one.
The Eagles yesterday looked like the worst team in the NFL. I said it earlier, and we know that we have two hashtag crew members who were dyed-in-the-wool Eagles fans, both hashtag Hembo and hashtag Cam. And I said earlier, if you just parachuted in from another planet and you had never watched football before and you just watched all the games yesterday, you would emerge saying, yeah, those guys from Philadelphia, they're the worst team. Their defense doesn't look like they know what they're doing. Are they coordinated? Like, do they practice? Watching their defense, I've never seen a team look worse defensively. That's one of the worst defensive performances I think I've ever seen in my life, what they did yesterday. They made the Giants look like, what? I mean, Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes at their best. But between both Tyrod and Tommy DeVito, it was ridiculous. So I don't know what the hell to make of that. They look just awful. And it does. There is a drumbeat for a coach who took this team to the Super Bowl last year. There are people, and by people, I mean the one sitting to my left, that are ready to fire Nick Sirianni if this thing goes badly Monday night.
I've watched practically every game the Eagles have played for the last 25 years, 400-some football games. And the first half of that game yesterday against the Giants is as pathetic, as uninspiring, as pitiful as these eyes have ever witnessed. I can't believe that my favorite football team has gone from being 10-1, having beaten not good teams, but the best teams in the NFL, to playing a non-competitive game against the Giants in a game in which the Giants had nothing to play for, and you, during that first half, had everything to play for.
Yeah.
Let it not be forgotten that Dallas and Washington were playing a close game. The Eagles were scoreboard watching just like we were. Jalen Hurts and all the other starters were playing. Now, certainly some guys got hurt, inclusive of A.J. Brown. We'll have to pay attention to that. But I watched every team play at least a portion of their game this weekend, 32 teams. The Eagles played worse and were coached worse than any team in the NFL this week. 32 out of 32. If they had played the Carolina Panthers in Philadelphia yesterday, they would have lost. And you're telling me right now, they're going to Tampa Bay as a favorite next week? I don't see it, man. I don't see how, over the course of the next 7 days, this team can remember how to play football, because they have most definitely forgotten.
Cam, are you ready to fire your coach?
I am not. I don't know how I'm not, but I understand this league is very much what have you done for me lately, and this city, as Hembo and I know, is very, very much what have you done for me lately. I still think 3 straight years of playoffs and a Super Bowl run does buy you some kind of currency, despite completely falling on your face. Like, I've run out of answers. Like, there's a reason that Hembo and I were so down on the Eagles after their second loss of the season to the 49ers, and you were saying you're 10-2, what are you talking about? I don't think we foresaw this coming, but we knew that there were more cracks than showed in the 10-1 record. I didn't see it getting this bad, and there's no positive signs for their playoff run. There's no positive signs even going into the next season at this point. Jalen Hurts might be hurt. A.J. Brown might be hurt. I just wonder if you'd regret giving up on the guy who got you to three straight playoffs, and it might look even worse with a complete teardown in the coaching staff, but I wouldn't be surprised at this point, but I wouldn't do it.
You know, it's just interesting to me because your coach has taken you to the playoffs three consecutive years mm-hmm. and been to the Super Bowl, and there's question about whether they're going to fire him. My team, the coach has also been there 3 years. They are 18-33 in that time, and they gave him the unquestioned vote of confidence 2 weeks ago. They're not even considering firing him. It's just an interesting juxtaposition.
Yeah, it's not just about the results. It's about the results when you consider the context, the factors at hand. I happen to think that the Eagles have a top five roster. The Eagles have a top five general manager in Howie Roseman, who has provided Nick Sirianni every single weapon that a coach can have in his arsenal. They have Jalen Hurts, who is still in the early stages of his second contract and thus is very affordable, coming off of a season in which he was the MVP runner-up. He's got a loaded offensive line. He's got loaded skill players on offense and six first-round picks along that defensive front that cannot stop a nosebleed. Greeny, you asked for context on the defense and how badly it has played lately.
Yeah.
The Eagles have lost five of the last six games. So like the sort of telltale number for a prolific offense, if you can score points, touchdown or field goal on something like half of your drive. I'm talking like rarest of rare, like the 2018 Chiefs, the 2007 Patriots, the undefeated Patriots. Like those are the kinds of teams that do that.
You score points on something like 50% of your drives.
Yeah. In the last 6 weeks, the Eagles have allowed points on 53% of their drives, which includes two Giants games, one Cardinal game, and a Seahawks game when Drew Lock started. This isn't a defense that's playing badly. We're talking about a defense that is playing historically badly, and I don't think it's primarily a personnel issue. It's largely the same personnel that sacked the quarterback 70 times last year and got you to the Super Bowl. I definitely see some regression in the secondary, and they have a weak linebacking core and such, but the Eagles don't have the worst defense in the league from a personnel standpoint, and they're playing like it.
So they're very badly coached. And they're being badly coached. Now, Sirianni was an offensive guy, right? So, I mean, it's the defense is someone else's responsibility. So it's just a matter of who he gave that responsibility to. First, Sean Desai, and then now Matt Patricia. And it hasn't gotten better. It's gotten worse. On the other side of it, and I really want to hear from both you and Cam on this, because everybody knows the quarterback. During the offseason, when they do their, like, who's the best quarterback in the NFL stuff, like people were putting Jalen Hurts second and third, and that was not controversial. He was an MVP favorite last year who outplayed Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. He has not looked the same this season. Why is that?
There are two reasons. One, there is definitely more to that knee injury than I think the public has learned.
That's what I keep saying. He's not healthy. There's no way he's healthy.
There's no way he's healthy, but there's also no way that he's ever going to be 100% healthy in week 18 because of the way that he plays. The second thing is, and look, I'm not going to divorce Jalen Hurts from the responsibilities of his regression, but the offense is incredibly elementary. It is the most unsophisticated offense in the NFL. They don't even know that the defense is allowed to blitz. Like, they don't pick up the blitz like every other freaking time. This has happened all season and is getting worse. This season, Greeny, Jalen Hurts has thrown five touchdowns against eight interceptions when he was blitzed. All right, in the first three seasons of his career, that ratio was 20-4. They're just free rushers all the time. Like, they're not providing him with any easy answers. Nothing is quick developing. There's nothing that provides Jalen Hurts, oh, let me just complete this easy completion, like you see literally every other coach with a freaking IQ of 100 in the NFL do. They're doing nothing. They're in the same dozen plays. They can't check. They can't protect. And I think as a result, Jalen Hurts has to run back there like a chicken with his head cut off.
Cam, Jalen Hurts, go.
Yeah, not controversial to rank him second as a quarterback coming into the season, but I do wonder if we will look back, and we're already looking at it currently, a lot of Doug Peterson's offense became more elementary once Frank Reich was gone. And I think we're seeing the same thing with Nick Sirianni and Shane Steichen. I think a lot of Shane Steichen was getting the best out of Jalen Hurts and making sure he was seeing the field well, picking up coverages, blitzes, playing with pressure well, scrambling when he needed to. I actually think the knee injury has been overstated. I think that's kind of like a fallback for why he's playing badly this season. I don't know, but I think it's a somewhat convenient excuse. It could be true, but I think he's playing He was playing worse this season already, and that might have exacerbated it. But I think a lot of it is the coaching, but he has definitely regressed himself as well.
Who will raise the trophy? Find out tonight. The Natty, presented by AT&T, coverage 6:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Embo Trivia, go.
The NFL's wild card round, it dates to 1978, the same season the 16-game schedule was implemented. My question today, which NFL franchise has the most wins on wild card weekend?
I like the question. The answer's next on ESPN Radio.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Greeny, the podcast.
Greeny with you on ESPN Radio. You can be a part of Greeny Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. It's not college football season without the delicious taste of an ice-cold Dr. Pepper, the one that fans deserve.
Wow, okay, and how are your trivia skills?
This is Sneaky Himbo Trivia.
Regular sneaky or extra sneaky?
Himbo, today's question is,
which NFL franchise has the most wins on Wild Card Weekend, which is around, that dates to 1978.
Yeah, prior to 78, because I was questioning Hembo on this. There were wild cards, but they were the way it worked in those days where there were three divisions in each conference and one wild card would make it. And so the first round of playoffs immediately was what we would now describe as the divisional round. So this is starting then when they added teams to the playoffs. So you got to pick a team that gets to the playoffs a lot, but also maybe not one that places out of the wild card round a lot. I'm going to let you guys go first this time. I keep going first and getting it wrong. I have a guess ready to go, but I want to hear what everybody else says. Bubba, who you got?
I'm going to go with the New York Giants.
The New York Giants?
Not on my board.
No, not mine either. They haven't been in the – okay, go ahead. I mean, I'm not going to criticize this pick even though I think it sucks because I'm not even 100% sure he heard the question.
I heard the question.
He usually does not hear the question.
I was familiar with the question. I don't know. They've had some success in the wild card.
All right.
Cam?
Yeah, I'm between two teams. I'm going to go with the Packers. I feel like they're in the playoffs a lot, and they're sometimes not quite living up to expectations. So
that's
maybe
right.
They missed some wild card rounds.
They
did not miss some wild card
rounds. Right, and the same exact with me. So and we have a guess in from Brandon, by the way?
Brandon's going Packers, and Jack, who's in the building today, is going Ravens.
Okay, and see, the problem with the Ravens...
They got there so late.
Is the Ravens didn't exist, until... whatever year Cleveland moved there in the 90s, for the first 20 years of this.
Jack didn't exist till then either.
That's true, and Jack is a dope. So
I think that's a bad guess.
I understand that. Well, why don't you take the Houston Texans? I mean, why don't you take a team that, you know, just an expansion team?
You're going to look foolish when the Ravens are right.
If the Ravens are right, I'm going to be good and aggravated, I will tell you that. No, I'm torn between two teams, which is the Packers and the Steelers. The Steelers are another team that I feel like makes the playoffs every year and doesn't always have the best record. And, like, their coaches never lose games. I mean, going back to 78, that would be the very end of the Noel Steelers, but then you got all the Cowers and all of the Tomlins. So I'm going to go Pittsburgh. So we got a couple of Packers, we got a Steelers, we got a Ravens, and we got a Giants.
The correct answer is Packers.
Yes! Let's go, Brandon!
Damn it.
The Packers won 10, the Seahawks and Titans with 9, the Cowboys, Ravens, and Eagles with 8.
Where were the Steelers in all of that?
The Steelers had 6, and the Giants have 7.
The Steelers have only won.
Hey, pretty good guess there, huh, you clown?
Hey, listen, clown. I mean, did clown feel a little aggressive?
Not after else? What you said to my guest.
You did say it sucked.
It was a pretty good guess.
It was.
You roundly mocked Bubba and Jack's guess, and both of their guesses were better than your guess.
I didn't mock. Did I mock Jack? Yeah, I did mock.
I think you said, "Why don't you pick the Texans?"
I just mocked Jack. I mean, which I do not retract. I 100% stand behind.
That still stands.
My mockery of Jack. Yes, I stand behind in every conceivable way. I feel it was based on journalistically sound principles. All right, that's frustrating.
I love that. Usually, you go first, and you get it wrong, and this time you go last. Cam talks you out of it because you don't want to overlap, and then it causes you to get
really
it wrong.
There's really no way I get this right. I mean,
have you got it right this year?
Yeah, only the group one.
Oh, the group one.
So what are we now?
I'm 3-2. Bubba's 2-3. Greeny's 1-4. Brandon's 1-1, and Jack is 0-1.
All right, Greeny, presented by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career you'll love with flexibility, great pay and benefits, and one of the country's top workplaces? Come join their growing team. Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today. We'll have Reese Davis coming up a little bit later here, and he will get us ready for tonight's game in Houston for the national championship. I will tell you, just as a little sneak preview, my pick is not what everyone else's pick is. I feel like the whole world is on one side and I'm on the other, and I will explain why as we go. But so Cam put into the rundown this morning, into the Google Doc, some unbelievable stats. I mean, the stats coming out of yesterday were surreally good. And let's start with this one on the Dolphins, which I think is incredible. The Dolphins had a great year, and I feel bad for them. I feel bad for their fans. I've fallen in love with their coach. Like, having your coach mic'd up is, if your coach is as impossible, as ridiculously likable as Mike McDaniel is a really good idea. Because the Dolphins are like the arch rival of my team, and yet I find myself loving that guy. Mike McDaniel is so easy to root for. Their season was so good. And when it all came down to it, they lose Jalen Phillips on a turf injury. They lose Bradley Chubb with, 3 minutes left in a game they're hopelessly out of. And they have to play the biggest game of their season yesterday without two of their three most important offensive weapons. And so, of course, they lose. So I don't feel like their season was a fraud. I really do not. That said, this statistic is amazing. The Dolphins were outscored by 91 points against teams that made the playoffs this year, which is the second worst point differential by any playoff team against the rest of that season's postseason field in NFL history. So the folks who want to claim that they just beat up on all the bad teams on their schedule and every time they had to step up in class, they lost, it is basically true.
Yeah, the average game the Dolphins played against teams in the playoff field ended in a 33-18 loss. So that average margin of defeat, if you will, is the second worst in the NFL this year, behind only the Washington Commanders, who actively tried to tank their season and did so, by the way, very successfully. Mm-hmm. They really executed their tank to perfection.
Yes, they're good tankers, and it'll wind up bearing fruit because they got the second pick in the draft, so they'll get a good quarterback in the draft, and they'll have a new coach in there. We'll see who that winds up being. Maybe Bill Belichick. I don't know. I think that's one of the places people have associated him with, so we'll see. But as far as the Dolphins, imagine this scenario. You go into the fourth quarter yesterday. You got a 14-7 lead against Buffalo. You've basically held the Bills in check. You are less than 15 minutes away from having the 2 seed and everybody coming to your place until the AFC Championship game. Then the other team runs a punt back 96 yards for a touchdown. And the next thing you know, you're on your way to Kansas City where it's going to be 0 on Saturday night. It is going to be, for those of you who haven't started looking at the weather, it is forecast to be 0 degrees Fahrenheit, not Celsius, when the Dolphins play at the Chiefs. I can think of no greater juxtaposition than having Pittsburgh come play you in Miami than having to go to 0 degrees Kansas City and play Patrick Mahomes.
Yes, especially with an Alabama quarterback. Patrick Mahomes has played 14 games in freezing time temperatures in his career. Tua has played one. No surprise.
Which was that game? Can't even think of what game it would have been. Would have been a regular season game because he didn't play in the playoffs.
Yeah,
last
Buffalo
year.
Or New England last year.
And
I
Alabama
say.
Wouldn't have played in one. No. It's brutal. No, it's brutal. And that game, I believe that game is on Peacock.
Yes, it's on Peacock.
So, which is fascinating to me. I said to Rex today, if I gave you the rest of your life, could you find that game? Like, if I literally say, all right, the game is starting, I'm going to give you the rest of your life. I'm not going to give you any information. I'm not telling you anything. Would you find it? And he just started to laugh.
I think there's a non-zero chance that around 7:30 on Saturday night, I get a call from him, and he inputs my credentials into his TV. that's going to happen, man.
I think that's a likelihood as well. All right, we continue in just a moment. It's a Monday on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny, the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcasts.